Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Pneuma Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
8, we're going to go 26 to 40. The topic today, the title is, How Can I? How can I? So verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place. And he rose and went. An angel appears to Philip, gives him a word. Go. Wow, who's had an angel come and tell him something like that? Tell me later. But you know, Philip was an evangelist. If you look at the start of the book of Acts, this chapter 8, there's been a great persecution of all the apostles and all the Christians. And Philip was one of the, he was actually a deacon who was distributing food after Pentecost. Thousands have been added to their numbers. And Philip was one of the ones that was appointed by the apostles to be distributing food. But when the persecution happened, because Jesus had said in Acts 1:8, when the Spirit comes upon you, you'll receive power to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and the uttermost parts of the world. He even said, and Samaria. When this scattering takes place, Philip was one of those guys who just takes the word. He takes the Great Commission. And he ends up in Samaria. And as he's there preaching the gospel, there's signs and wonders. People are being healed. There's demons being cast out of people. There's magicians. Simon the magician is getting converted. He's wondering what's on Philip. Philip is calling out the apostles from Jerusalem. Peter, John, come help me. They come and they're praying over these people. And people are being baptized in the Spirit. People are being baptized in water. There's so much going on. As Philip has said yes to the Great Commission. And then when we jump into where we are now, verse 26, Philip is going from the crowd to the one. Because God loves the one. God loves the one, loves your neighbor, loves your father, loves your workmate. And God sends an angel to Philip. And this is where we're at. So verse 27, the angel says, go to Gaza. And what does he do? He rises and he goes. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace. Candace gets excited. My wife is called Candace. And it's Candace with an A, not a I. If you look there, you'll see. She always gets a bit annoyed when people spell it wrong. Some say Candance because, like, the word just doesn't get it. Autocorrect. But Philip, as he goes where the angels told him to go, he meets this Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of Queen Candace. Ethiopia, in these days, Luke writes Acts, and in the days of Luke writing this, Ethiopia was actually considered the ends of the earth. So we have Philip being sent to someone from the ends of the earth. The gospel is about to go to the ends of the earth, to Ethiopia. So he meets, there's this Ethiopian that's on his way. It says he had come to Jerusalem to worship the Ethiopian eunuch. This is what he had come to do. Verse 28 in your Bibles on the screen. This Ethiopian was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Wow. Angel says, go. He goes, doesn't know where he's going, to a desert place, to Philip. Then he comes across this guy who's reading the prophet Isaiah. And then verse 29 says, and the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. Man, God's giving him some strange directions. Go down to the road that goes from Jerusalem to the south, to Gaza. He's on his way. There's some Ethiopian dude. And God says, through the Holy Spirit, go to that chariot. Go to it. Join. So it says in verse 30, so Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, Who asked? Philip. He asked a question. God's leading him here. God's led him there. And then what does he do? He asks the question. What questions do we ask when God leads us to people or when we're around people? What does Philip ask? Verse 30, he says, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now, the passage of scripture that he was reading was this: like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. Verse 33, in his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth. So now the eunuch's asking questions. What does Philip do? He opened his mouth. Beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. So the eunuch had been reading the scriptures by himself. He was actually reading from the scrolls of Isaiah. You can see it in Isaiah 57, verses 7 to 8. This is where the scripture comes from that the eunuch had been reading. And then Philip begins with that scripture and he explains who is being spoken about. Jesus. The Ethiopian didn't know anything about Jesus. He'd gone to Jerusalem to worship, but he didn't know anything about Jesus. And then Philip tells him all about Jesus. And then verse 36, as they were going along the road, they came to some they just so happened to come across some water. Philip's been explaining the gospel to him, and this Ethiopian eunuch is getting the gospel, is getting convicted, is receiving the gospel. And then this is what he says. "See, here's water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. The eunuch went on his way rejoicing. Psalm 85 verse 6 says, "Will you not revive us again so that your people may rejoice in you?" The Ethiopian was one of God's people, just like you and I are God's people. He hears the gospel. Revival comes, and what happens? He goes away rejoicing because he has been revived. Verse 40 then says, "But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea." That is the word of the Lord from the book of Acts. Come on. Oh, yes. I've got a bit of Anglican in me too. So much. Oh, Philip does so much. God directs you and I daily, but not just us. He's leading people around us. Everywhere we go, he's leading people. God speaks to us. He's speaking all the time. And we see God speaking to Philip through an angel. God wants to trust you and I with his voice. He does. When God speaks, can he trust you with his voice? First point for today is God wants to trust you with his voice. See, I've always had this desire since age of 12 to share the gospel. I've tried. I've been rejected. I've tried. Seeds have been sown. I've even said in this house, as we've talked about the prodigal son, so I don't want to be someone who's lost in the house like the other son in that story. He was lost in the house. He was still with his father. We can easily be lost in the house. So many people out there need the gospel. They need what we have. I'm sure Philip would have had his rejections. I'm sure you've had your rejections, but they're actually not your rejections. They're not rejecting you. They're rejecting God. They're rejecting the gospel. But can God trust you with his voice when he says, go speak to that person? Just go bless that person with some money. Just write an encouraging card to someone. Send them a text. Talk to someone on the bus. Can he trust you with his voice? He actually wants, desires to trust you with his voice. I've just been to my hometown, Zimbabwe. Harare is the town. I hadn't been for 10 years. And finally, a few weeks ago, thanks be to God, I got to go. And we've been having these prayer meetings in this very room, Fridays, 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. to just pray. And as part of that, a few weeks ago, some of the crew were praying for me. There were so many prophetic words. It was like 15 minutes just praying for me. And they were just prophesying that as I go to Zimbabwe, there's going to be, I'm going to take revival. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, do you guys know where I'm going? They don't need revival. They've got revival, but who am I? There's all these prophetic words. And then that was Friday. Monday comes, 3:30 a.m. I'm jumping into the Uber. Boom, it started. Like an hour conversation with the Uber driver. Man, he's asking questions, I'm asking questions. We're talking about the Bible. We're going back to Genesis. We're just doing the whole thing. By the end of it, I'm praying for him. He was loving it. I was like, wow, God does lead us. God does want to speak to us. What will you do when you hear God's voice saying, go speak to this person. Do this, do that. Philip was told, go to the road that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. What will you do when he says go? What did Philip do? He rose and he went. Point number two this morning is, will you rise and go? See, God wants to trust you with his voice. But will you rise and go? See, Philip obeys. He rises and he goes. But not only that, verse 29 says he runs. The Spirit says, go to that chariot. He runs to the chariot. Oh, man. He doesn't even know where he's being led to. God's not going to give you the full picture. He wants to trust you with his voice. He'll tell you, do this. And you just got to jump in and do it. Go to a desert place. He just goes. Little does he know, Philip doesn't know, that where God's leading him, God's already been working. There's the eunuch who's already in the Word. He's already in the Word, but he just needs some help. And God chooses to use Philip. God chooses to use you and I to be his hands and his feet. See, when I got to the airport after that Uber, checked in, still had a couple of hours. Man, I was pumped. Because I'm like, wow, that was amazing. That's never happened for me. I'm like, I'm just going to sit down. Real unusual spot I sat down in, close to the doors, like doors of people entering the airport, on a little bench, headphones on. I just start journaling. Just journaling about what had happened in the Uber. So as I'm doing that, another guy just comes and sits next to me on the bench. He says hello. I say hello to him. He's a cleaner or something. It was like a quick chat. I put my headphones on. I start journaling. I start getting this sense, because this guy's got a phone charger. He's come on his break to charge his phone. I just sense God saying, speak to him about him being charged up by my presence, him being charged up by the Holy Spirit, him staying in my presence, staying in my... I'm like, Lord, is he even a Christian? What is he going to think? I'm trying to journal about what just happened, Lord. What are you on about? Is this me? What's going on? All right, Lord. Put off my headphones. And I'm like, hey, man, this is just what I sense. He looks at me. He goes, wow. He goes, man, I was just on TikTok just before. And I started following this guy who's talking all about Jesus. And now I'm just looking at it, looking at it, looking at it. And then now you're talking to me about the Bible. We chat for like 45 minutes. I end up praying for this guy. He's like new in the country. He's only been around for 2 months. There's just like story after story. He used to walk with God, not really walking with God anymore. I'm like, wow, I better go get on the plane. I'm like, this is cool. I'm like, those prophecies were for real. And God just doesn't speak to us through prophecies only, through other people, right? He speaks to us through His Word. He speaks to us through the Holy Spirit. He's speaking to you right now. What was the eunuch doing? He was reading the Word, reading Isaiah. And Philip asked the right question. He asked the question, do you understand what you're reading? And then boom, divine opportunity comes. Bible study done. Do you understand? He goes, how can I understand unless someone guides me? So Philip starts to explain the Word to this man. There was an invitation. There was a divine opportunity. How can I unless someone guides me? How can I? How can I unless someone guides me? God desires to speak to people through you, through each of us. Wherever you are, wherever you go, there's always an opportunity. It's not always just sharing the gospel. Sometimes it's building relationship. And He works through all that. He wants to trust you with His voice. The question is, will you rise and go? Because there's many people saying, how can I? People that you don't even know. Some people you know. They're just waiting for you to be obedient to what God puts on your heart. There's people saying, I want to understand this God, but how can I? There's people thinking, I want to forgive and forget, but how can I? I've been so hurt. I've been hurt by the church. I've been hurt by people. I've been hurt by people that have sexually abused young people in churches. But how can I move on? How can I? There's people asking those questions. But we won't know until we follow the direction of God to just be in the right place at the right time. How can I? How can they unless we guide them? How can we? How can they? See, we have the answer. We have the solution. We have the answer, we have the solution, and His name is Jesus. We have Him. We have the Holy Spirit. We carry it. We carry His presence. And we get to be His hands and His feet. See, there's people out there asking, how can I? They don't even realize it. They're trying to do it by themselves. We've been there. Some of us are still there. We're trying to do it by ourselves. There's people trying to make it in business, trying to make it in their career, trying to get relationships back in place, trying to find the right relationship. 3 marriages, 4 marriages, whatever. People are trying to do it by themselves. People are trying to make it up the corporate ladder. People are trying to be self-made. Self-made. Oh, she's a self-made woman. He's a self-made man. Self-made, forget that. We're God-made. We're God-made. Made by God. Made in His image. That is who we need to look to. Not at self, but look to God. And God then works in you, but it also works through you and brings the right people around. He will send you where you need to be to do His work. How can I unless someone guides me? I was on my way back from Zimbabwe and so much happened whilst I was there. I don't have enough time to share the stories. There was a lot of spiritual opposition, but there was a lot of highs of just encounters with people that I didn't even plan to meet up with. Some things just in supermarkets. God was just showing me stuff on this trip. Just showing me more of Himself. And as I was on my way back, I'm thinking, oh, it's time to rest on the plane. Lord, thank You for what You did. And I didn't have my Bible anymore. God had challenged me to give it to someone else in the moment. And I'm sitting on the plane and I'm just journaling about the last 7 days. I try to journal through the whole thing, but I think I got stuck at day three. So I'm like trying to just catch up. So I'm on the plane, I'm journaling. And there's this drunk dude on the plane. Man, everyone knew he was on the plane. He gets on the plane. He's sitting on this side of the plane. There's a lady next to me, then there's the aisle, and then there's another two people, and he's right next to me on the other side. He gets there, he announces to the lady, "Hey, I'm so sorry you're sitting next to me. You get to sit next to me." He's just asking her questions the whole time. They're chatting like they know each other, but the whole plane can hear this guy. Like it was only like a 2-hour flight from Harare to Joburg. So I start riding my thing. He goes, "Hey, bro." I'm like, "Hey." He goes, "What are you doing?" He goes, "What are you doing?" So he's asking me a question, right? God's doing something. He goes, "What?" I'm like, "Bro, I'm just journaling. I've just had this significant time over in Harare. So I'm just journaling about my time over there." He's like, "Oh, that is great. People that journal, they're just special." He's like, "They're just special. That's why I asked you." And I said, "I'm just journaling because," I said, "especially when I read my Bible, if something sticks out, something jumps out, I'll just," he goes, "The Bible?" He goes, "Man, I was just thinking about that." He goes, "You know John 1 verse 1? I'm like, "Yeah, bro. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then he goes, "He was with God in the beginning." And the whole plane, I'm telling you, the whole plane could hear because this guy was loud. So we start, you know, he goes, "Tell me about that." He goes, "I've been wrestling with that scripture." And he starts telling me how he used to go to church when he was young. And we just get into this whole chat about the Holy Spirit and all this, like, you know, for another, like, I don't know, 45 minutes. He tells me he actually lives in Canada. He goes, "Oh, Melbourne, I'm coming to Melbourne in May." I finally tell him that I'm a pastor. He goes, oh. And then he's like, "I want to come to your church." He goes, "You're going to have a message to preach." You'll be like, "Oh, there was this drunk guy on the plane and then da-da-da-da-da." I'm like, "Yeah, man, come to church." But I was just amazed at once again how as we're just doing, and you can be on a plane and go, "No, I'm not going to journal. I'm not going to do my thing. I'm not going to read my book." We had people on the way out asking us, me and this guy, "Oh, hey, what was that book you were talking about? I want to source that," because he was telling me about some book. So people could hear these things. I was just like, "Oh, man." So questions come when we meet people, when God trusts us with his voice, when we rise and go, when we get to guide people in whatever way, how can I? They ask questions. What do you do when the question comes? What will you do when the question comes? Philip gets asked the question when they go through the scriptures. The eunuch says to him, "Who is this scripture talking about?" What does Philip do when that question comes? It says this, verse 35. This is exactly what it does. "Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with the scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus." We're to open our mouth and let him speak. God wants to trust you with his voice. Will you rise and go? How can I unless someone guides me? What do you do when the questions come? Open your mouth and let him speak. See, it's the Holy Spirit that speaks through us. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us the words to speak. Matthew chapter 10. I'll just go to it in my Bible. It won't come up on the screen. Write it down on your notes if you want, but I'll just read it real quick. Matthew 10, 19 to 20 says this. "When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say, for what you are to say will be given you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you." We are to open our mouths and let the Holy Spirit speak. God doesn't give us the full picture. When you walk out of here today, you just get your antennas up. We heard last week from Pastor Aaron that we're to be awakened to the spirit realm. We carry the Holy Spirit. We carry it, awaken, carry, and release it. We're to release the presence of God wherever we go. He will show you step by step. But a moment will come where you get to open your mouth. You might not even know what's coming. You have the Spirit in you. You're people that love the Word. What's in your heart will come out. For out of the heart, the mouth speaks. But, oh, you might think, oh, I don't get into the Word much. I will have nothing. God will use whatever you've got if you're willing. So let God speak through you. He doesn't give you all the details. I had this divine appointment whilst I was in Zimbabwe. I got to meet up with someone who's really influential when it comes to politics and leadership, really close to the national president. And the way this came up was just like God. But as I was going to catch up with this guy, I did not feel prepared. I knew he was open to the things of God, but I didn't know how open. But I had a sense he wasn't where God wanted him to be in his heart. So we just start chatting. I get there. But before I get there, I just get this sense, take your Bible with you. I'm like, yeah, I'm a pastor. Usually I'll take my Bible with me and maybe we'll share a verse or something. But I had no verse in mind, nothing. Just took my Bible, sit at the cafe, we're just chatting away. And I'm just, you can see this guy, there's just so much heaviness on him when we're talking. Talking restoration, talking so many things. But anyway, it just comes to a moment towards the end of our chat. I literally just get a sense from God, give him your Bible. I'm like, what? It's got my name in it. It's got my number in it. It's got my notes in it. It's got my markers in it. It's got all my highlights. What do you mean? I said, bro, I have my Bible. He's like, what? He goes, that's too personal. Then I just start going, man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of the Father. God just wants you to feed on this thing and all the things you've been talking about. God's just going to get involved even more as you feed on His Word. And if you don't know what to read, just start with where I've highlighted. He's like, but what are you going to read? I'm like, oh man, Psalm 119, verse 18 says, or verse 11 says, I have hidden your word in my heart so that I may not sin against you. And I'm like, David wrote that. And you know what? David messed up. You think you've messed up? David committed adultery. But God restored him. He was a man after God's own heart. There were things I had not planned. Then got to pray with this guy. Now he's got my Bible. Now I've got a new Bible. Thank you so much, Lord. But I went there not knowing. I just knew God had hooked this up. But I didn't know where this was going to end. I've never given my Bible away. I wouldn't give anyone my Bible. I wouldn't want my Bible because it's just like so old and like got coffee stains and stuff on it. But I was just being obedient. See, we just got to open your mouth and let Him speak. It's so easy to stay silent, to assume people don't want to hear about God, to assume people don't want to know about your faith. Seek God's voice. Ask Him what He's doing at the time. He'll give you the words. The enemy wants you, because you've been rejected before or people have been, he wants you to just shut up. But no, don't be silent. You have been called for such a time as this. So we see Philip sharing the gospel, sharing Jesus with the Ethiopian eunuch. He shares Jesus confidently. And what happens when he shares Jesus? This guy gets it so much that he wants to follow Jesus. He gets the revelation. He gets convicted so much that he wants Jesus. When people hear the gospel, there will be a heart response. Heart response. They'll either say yes or they'll either say no. This guy's like, see, here is water. What prevents me from getting baptized? Philip's explained to him the gospel. He's explained to him Jesus got baptized. Peter said, repent and be baptized. He's explained the gospel to him and he sees water and he goes, what prevents me from being baptized? What's preventing you from being baptized? What's preventing you from being baptized? What are the barriers for you to be baptized? Jesus got baptized. The Great Commission says, go therefore. A and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all my commands. And behold, I am with you always. See, being baptized, going down into the waters of baptism, you get fully immersed, and as you get fully immersed, you're saying, that is my old life, that is just my own ambitions and everything of old, I'm putting it down, it is dying. And as you come out of the waters, it reminds us of Jesus' resurrection to life, and you'll say, I'm new. The old is gone, the new is here. What prevents you? What's stopping you? If you're here today, you've never been water baptized. What's stopping you? Look at this guy. The Ethiopian eunuch, he heard it there and then. He was like, let's do it. He had the revelation. There should be no barriers to you getting baptized. Do you believe in Jesus? Yes, so get baptized. Are you a disciple of Jesus? What's a disciple of Jesus? Someone who's a learner, someone who's following Jesus. Then get baptized. Nothing should stop us. You don't have to have been a Christian for 20 years. You don't have to have been a Christian who's perfect. None of us are perfect. We're never going to be perfect. But as you say yes to baptism, something happens. I remember getting baptized when I was 21. I'd been a Christian from 12, being confirmed in the Anglican Church, being leading, volunteering, different things in different denominations, being known as a leader. Then I'm now in a Baptist church and people are getting baptized. Oh, I used to do drugs and I used to do this. Oh, praise the Lord, you've changed. Yeah, get baptized. What about you, Steve? Oh, well, I got, you know, baptized, infant baptism in the Anglican church when I was 2 months old, so I don't need that. But I'm sorry to say that is not the baptism that Jesus was talking about. That's not the same baptism Jesus did. I'm thankful for my infant baptism, my christening, because my parents dedicated me to God then, and that did something. But a time comes where you have to do it for yourself and be fully immersed in the water. We're told in the Gospel of John that we're to be baptized in water and also baptized by the Spirit. So in 2 weeks' time, we have baptism, Easter Sunday. What better day to get baptized than Resurrection Sunday? So if that is you and you've never been baptized, we've got our info hub at the back. Let us know. Sign up for it for Easter Sunday. You've got 2 weeks to let family and friends know because they get to come and hear of the gospel and then they get to see a demonstration as you get baptized. So Philip gets out of the chariot with this man and he gets baptized. The eunuch gets baptized. And you just wonder, how did it all end up here? How? It's because Philip was following the Great Commission. His thing was to go and make disciples. Go. Will you go when God says go? When the Holy Spirit says go, get up and go. God will use anyone who's willing to listen to him, willing to say yes. But we can limit him. We limit him. Sometimes we hear, but we're like, nah, that's not what God's saying. Every time we're saying no to what God's challenging us about, we're making it about ourselves. Like, oh, now God didn't say, oh, I can't do that. Oh, that's not him. We're thinking of ourselves. But if we think of him, what he's saying, if we think of the person, how can I? It's not about you. I'm not saying how can I. They're saying, how can I? The eunuch's saying, how can I? That's what we're to respond to. Are you limiting God? Open your mouth and let him speak. If there's one thing I learned on my trip, it was a reminder, but it was almost like a new revelation. It was that we're always on mission. Always on mission. See, we heard last week that our spirits don't sleep. God's always speaking to us. Yes, we get to rest. We get to enjoy life. But as you do that, you're always on mission. You're resting. And as you're resting, God's preparing you for the next thing. Always on mission. I'm there in Zimbabwe and got a few more days and I'm just driving almost at my destination. I'm about to turn over here to the right. I'm driving. I see these five men over there in front of a house or something. They're in a semicircle. I'm thinking, what are they doing? As I'm turning, I just get this sense, you need to go and pray with them. Go pray for them. I'm like, yeah, right. Like, who does that? All right, Lord, I'll go. So I go. I've never done anything like that, especially in a car. I rock up. I stop the car at the gate, wind down the window. Hey, guys, what are you doing? Are you praying or something? And then they go, yeah, we're doing our meditations. We've been waiting for you. I'm like, all right. So I stop the car. I jump out. All right. What are we praying for? They go, for our nation. We're praying. We've got elections coming up. We're praying that there won't be any violence. It'll be peaceful. And we're praying for the economy. I'm like, all right, who's praying? They go, you. I'm like, so I start praying for these dudes. I start praying for them, for their families. Then I pray for the nation. I'm praying the Holy Spirit over them for like 3-4 minutes. And I'm like, can someone pray for me? One of them prays for me. Then I find out this is like an Anglican seminary where these guys are in training. Some of them are ministers. I share my story with them, stuff that I've been struggling with on my trip. Share with them about my mom who's got Alzheimer's. They're like, we're going to be praying for you. We get a photo, and now I'm in touch with one of them. And I said to them, guys, this is not me. I don't usually do stuff like this. And they were so encouraged. Some stranger just stops the car and says, let's pray. And I was like, those people back in Yuma South that prophesied over me must hear from God. And I was just like, man, we're always on mission. I was at my destination, but God was trusting and even asking, can I trust you with my voice? And these guys got encouraged. But now I'm even more encouraged because the spiritual antennas just are not really turning off at the moment. It's like, God, what are you doing? But you know, how can I, is the cry of someone that is searching for God. How can I, is the cry of someone that wants discipleship. Someone that's searching. There's so many people. They think they've got it. They're like, oh, I just do good to everyone. I'm just a good person. But at the end of the day, they're saying, I try to be good, but I'm not really all that good. How can I? How can I? But we carry the answer. We're always on mission. I get back, and last week, Pastor Erin prayed over me in front of all of you. And she prophesied that I was not going back. I was never going to be the same. Next day is my day off. Me and little Zachy go to a play center. It's just mums everywhere. Lord, how am I going to share anything with a mum? Like, they'll think I'm a creep. It's my day off. And I'm enjoying it. It's fun. And all with little Zach, he's 4.5. Then right towards the end, Zach comes with a little girl, goes, Dad, I made a friend. I'm like, oh, what's your friend's name? I don't know. Then the dad comes, I'm like, oh, our kids just met. What's her name? We start chatting. Next thing I'm finding out, he's a single dad. He's got his daughter like 3 days a week. There's just all the stuff he's been going through for years. His wife's abandoned him. We're chatting. I'm just like, oh, God, this guy's so hurt. He really needs you, but there's no way I can bring this in. There's no way. And we're just chatting. Then 5 minutes in, I realize I don't know his name. So I'm like, oh, hey, I'm Steve. What's your name, by the way? He goes, Daniel. I'm like, oh, Daniel. See, what? It's the questions that we ask. I go, oh, Daniel, that reminds me of Daniel in the Bible. He goes, oh, man, Daniel. He goes, that story has kept me strong for the last however long. He goes, my dad named me Daniel, but he passed away when I was 12. And just that story has kept me going. Next thing, we're talking about church. I'm telling about Yuma East because I was out in the East. And then I got to pray for him like 15 minutes later whilst the kids are playing. And he just shook my hand and he's like, mate, thank you so much. He's not going to church. He's not doing any of that. He's been hurt by the church years ago, and he's just like searching, but going through his own thing. But that again taught me that we're always on mission. We try to limit God. We try to limit ourselves. And I'm not saying I've got it. For me, it's still a daily thing where I'm like, oh, what do you do? What do you do? And sometimes it's just building relationship. We go to ninja competitions with my son yesterday. I'm just building relationship with people because I know I'm going to see them in a few weeks' time. Then I'm going to see them again and see it again. But as that happens, God might bring in an opportunity. So we're always on mission. The questions that we ask, they unlock things. They unlock something. So how can I? Can I get the band to come up? How can I? Romans chapter 10, verse 14. It says, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? How can they? How can they? Let's all stand together. How can they unless someone preaches to them? Someone shares the word with them? How can they unless someone? Will you be that someone? Let him lead you to that water aerobics class. How can they? Whilst you're in the sauna, someone saying, how can I? Whilst you're in your classroom teaching, in the supermarket, in the Uber, wherever you place your feet, you carry something so powerful. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that he gave us his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.